I'm Dorothy Wickenden. On today's Politics and More podcast, David Remnick talks to The New Yorker's Jane Mayer about Charles and David Koch. Despite being two of the Republican Party's biggest and most powerful donors, the Koch brothers plan to spend $30 million in the run-up to the midterm elections, opposing Trump administration tariffs on imported goods.
Hello?
Hey, Jane. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Are we rolling? We are.
Great. Now, I've called up Jane Mayer because for years, Jane has been reporting on the political activities of the Koch brothers, Charles and David Koch of Koch Industries. They're among the biggest donors in conservative politics, spreading a free market and libertarian view of the world. And their influence in Washington can hardly be overstated. So Donald Trump's big pivot toward trade protectionism is the very last thing they want to see. Trump seems determined to spark a trade war, imposing tariffs not only on China and Mexico, but Canada and Europe too. Charles and David Koch have now launched a campaign against those policies, right as the midterm elections give voters a referendum on the Trump presidency. Jane, the Kochs have been free trade boosters for decades. How are they reacting to Trump's behavior at the G7 and his recent round of tariffs?
Well, they're against any kind of tariffs. They think that it's deleterious to their business and to the country's economy. So they're planning to spend a lot of money to oppose his policy of imposing tariffs. And so it's one of the areas that they differ from him on, and they know how to make a lot of noise when they need to. They'll spend as much money as they can.
How much are they spending on this anti-tariffs campaign?
They've talked about spending millions, maybe as much as $30 million.
And what form will the spending take? Can I spot a Koch advertisement on television if I look carefully?
You very well may be able to. Look for ads from Americans for Prosperity, and there are a number of other allied groups that they fund. They have a Hispanic group that they fund. They have a veterans group, Concerned Veterans for America. You'll see ads that will say that these tariffs are going to hurt poor people and consumers. They don't go out there and say these tariffs are going to hurt Koch Industries and we, who are the ninth richest men in America, which is what the two Koch brothers are. They talk about how the tariffs are going to hurt the little people.
Now, what does this mean for the midterm elections? Where are the Kochs going to put their money when it comes to November?
They are going to mostly do what they usually do, which is try to control Congress with their money. And so the most important for them is to keep the country from doing anything that would put a tax on carbon pollution and take action against global warming, because their whole business is tied up in carbon, in fossil fuels.
The party in power almost always loses some seats in a midterm. Where are they going to concentrate?
They're going to put a lot of money behind Republican candidates, and every now and then there'll be a Democrat. There are a few straggler Democrats that they have always funded. They're Democrats where they've got some of their businesses are located, like in Arkansas. They've backed Democrats in the past. And Democrats who support the policies that they support, they'll back. So they've done that recently with one who was supporting the gutting of the Dodd-Frank financial regulation bill. What they've been able to do is create an apparatus it's like a political machine. And there's a piece by a couple scholars at Harvard who describe it as a machine that is as powerful, if not more powerful, than the Republican Party at this point. And so what they do is they use this political muscle they've got to scare Republicans into following their agenda, and they threaten those that might not by saying, we'll run somebody against you in a primary. They call it, we'll primary you. And so the Republicans want to toe their line so that they don't have a primary opponent who's really well-funded who might knock them out. And most of the people on the Hill, face it, want to get reelected, so they go along.
Well, let's remind ourselves what the Kochs did during the election campaign. If I remember, they described the campaign of Clinton versus Trump as, you know, having to decide between a heart attack and cancer, I think is how they put it. Now they have Trump. Was tariffs the main reason that they thought this was a disease?
It's part of it. The truth is that they are radical right libertarians. They want to shrink the government down to, you know, the size that it was during Calvin Coolidge's period. Calvin Coolidge is their favorite president. And they realize that Trump is not one of them. He's not a libertarian. He's not an ideologue. He's a different kind of breed. He's not someone they can control particularly. He doesn't necessarily share their beliefs. And if anything, he kind of aggrandizes himself as president and makes a show of a display of power as president. That none of that is their kind of politics.
No, he's not Silent Cal. Trump is not Silent Cal. But they had to.
He is not Silent Cal.
But they had to know this was coming. This of all the positions that Trump has ever taken, the one he's been pretty clear about from the start is what he's doing now on trade, isn't it?
Well, right. And so this was one of the reasons they opposed him. They would have been happy with any of the other Republican nominees, potential nominees for president in 2016. And they were ready to back any of them except Trump. And they sat on their hands on the sidelines waiting for a nominee to be chosen. And then they were going to throw their money into the race. And lo and behold, the one guy who they opposed got the nomination.
Did they give money all the same?
They had set aside a kitty of $889 million. The money was distributed in lesser amounts to many, many Senate and congressional and gubernatorial and even lower level candidates. But they didn't put money behind Trump. But I actually feel that sort of obscures what, to me anyway, is the more important story, which is, yes, they have differences with him on trade and on immigration. Those are two major areas of difference they've got with him. But they've gotten behind him on so many other things quietly.
Like what?
Well, they are huge supporters of his one achievement in office legislatively, which is the tax bill that was passed recently. It reduces corporate rates from 35 to 21%. This is their idea of heaven. And they put $20 million into backing it in a national campaign, pushing to get it through Congress. And the other thing they did, which is really something that we're going to all be dealing with the consequences for years, is that they stopped him from achieving the mechanism that he had originally intended to pay for those tax cuts, which was something called the border adjustment tax. And Paul Ryan was for it. So you've got the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Trump was for it. You had the White House backing it. But guess what? The Kochs were against it and they killed it. So there's no mechanism now to make up for the gigantic deficits that the Trump tax bill is going to create. And they're going to create a lot more pressure to keep cutting government spending. And that's what the Kochs want.
Jane, my understanding is that while Donald Trump himself may be somewhat distant, especially ideologically, from the Kochs on certain issues, you've got Betsy DeVos, who's the Secretary of Education, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, Mike Pence, who's the Vice President, obviously. They all have pretty close ties to the Kochs.
Really close ties.
So how have they been able to influence policy at, say, the Department of the Interior or the EPA, let's say?
Well, so in the Department of the Interior, there is the top lawyer there is a man named Daniel Giorgiani, who was, he's worked for many years for Charles Koch, for his institute, for his foundation, and for the Koch brothers' political organization. So he's just a kind of a right-hand man to Charles Koch, and he's now the top lawyer in the Interior Department. And over in the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, they've got the secretary is Scott Pruitt, who is somebody whose political career was funded from the start by the Kochs.
David Koch has stepped down. He's retired. Did he do so voluntarily, or did his brother give him a little kick out the door?
Well, I mean, the thing is, he's retiring because he's in failing health. And so it was somewhat inevitable.
But there was tension there, right?
Yes. But according to the two of the sources I talked to, who are very much in the know, he was given a push out the door by his older brother. And they said that it was done with a wink and a nod and a nudge, and that David Koch really hadn't wanted to go, but that Charles has been pushing him out for some time.
Regardless of what happens with trade policy or in November, isn't it your sense that the Kochs have come out pretty far ahead on these 2 years of the Trump presidency? They, despite their opposition on tariffs or immigration, they've gotten plenty out of this presidency.
I mean, really, tariffs and immigration are not such central questions to them as environmental policy and tax policy and other regulatory policy. And on those areas, Trump for them is a dream come true.
Jane, thanks so much.
Great to be with you.
That was Jane Mayer talking to David Remnick.